So it's funny. This morning I woke up, and Baruch Hashem, that's the first thing. I said, Moda Ani. That's a great simcha. And I had a bunch of emails. I always have a bunch of emails in the morning. And one of the emails was from a guy, Kobe Fleischman, who was listening to, was trying to at least listen to my shiur I gave last night on Chassidus, the Thursday night shiur. And he said, you know, you kind of confuse some of the shiurim, which I oftentimes do. I've got so many shiurim sometimes that I misplace the wrong shiur for the wrong title. So he said, you know, but it was a beautiful piece from the piano that I was listening to. What happened? So last night, my son, Yeshaya, he wrote his own song. He's very talented, and he was just playing at the piano, and he came up with the song, and he wanted me to record it for him. So I recorded it on my phone here, and accidentally, when I uploaded the shiur for the Chassidus, it was a 1 minute, so maybe at the end here, I'll play it for you guys if you want to listen to it. So it's a very nice niggin. We're trying to think of if we should put words to it, what words to put to it, and I'm not sure where to go with it next. Maybe you guys won't like it. I'm obviously very biased towards it. Maybe you could sing it to Kol Mekadesh this week, that's the first thing we're going to do. Now, what's interesting about learning through Zemira Shabbos is I was never a person who was into literature or poetry at all, because you never really know what the intent of the poet was or the author was, and it's really an open question. You could be very creative if you like. And the same thing goes true when analyzing the different Zemira Shabbos. Sometimes we know the author, sometimes we don't. Many times they had Ruach HaKodesh, many times they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. So we don't always know what the real intent of the author or poet was. But that being said, it still serves as a very nice springboard. It comes from a very, very high place of Kedusha to discuss different points of the depth of Shabbos. Now, sometimes Zemira Shabbos is there to connect different Mamari Chazal, statements we find throughout the Gemara and Midrashim. Sometimes it's there to teach us certain halachas. And sometimes it's simply there to teach us some deep understandings of Shabbos. So we're going to go through the different Zemira Shabbos. Today is going to be Kol Mekadesh Shvi, just the first stanza. And there's going to be a different range of perspectives. There's not going to be one common theme, perhaps. Everyone has their own take and perspective. If you're going to be learning a Chassidish Sefer, it's going to be very different than a Lamdish Sefer. Some will be halachic and others will be Chassidus. But there is no running theme. I'm sure you could develop one, but what we're going to go through is different perspectives and hopefully learn something. Sorry, that's the downside of using your phone as a recorder. We're in airplane mode. So we're going to learn different perspectives and hopefully be inspired by some of the ideas here mentioned. So let's start with reading the first paragraph, the first stanza of Kol Mekadesh Shvi. I'm not sure if everyone sings this. Part of the initial idea when Sheldon suggested going through Sheldon Lerner, who's away now for a couple of weeks, when he suggested this topic, he wanted to sing together also Kol Mekadesh Shvi, or any Zemer we're doing. So Morty shakes his head, we shouldn't do that. He was going to bring in a whole orchestra to do that. So I'm not sure if everyone knows Kol Mekadesh Shvi. I'm not going to sing for you. But if we can come to a Zemer that no one knows a tune, so maybe we'll ask Sheldon to, he said he'll find some video and play it for everyone to listen to if you'd like. So let's begin the words of Kol Mekadesh Shvi.
Who wrote this?
So we don't know who the author is. Very good. We don't know who the author is for this one. It's still, this is something that has been in Sidurim for many, many centuries, and we do say it. I've never seen a bencher that doesn't have it in. So it's part of the story, even though we don't know who the author is. So Kol Mekadesh Shvi Karailo. What that literally means is anyone who sanctifies the Shvi, the seventh day, Karailo, literally means the way it should be. Kol Shomer Shabbos Kadas Michalo. Anyone who protects and safeguards Shabbos, Kadas, according to the Halacha, Michalo, from desecrating it. And Schara Harbe Meod, Al Pifalo, there's going to be tremendous reward in doing so, Al Pifalo, according to his actions. Ish al machaneu, each person to his machane, to his camp. V'ish al diglo, each person to his degel, a reference to his shevet, to where he was living, which tribe he was part of. So if you look at the footnote on the bottom here, this first page here, there's a footnote Zion. He quotes from the Kasa B'Sidr Beis Yaakov, that the pshat here is, Shemekadesh es shvi kiroilo, hu bekim mitzos aseh, shokavod v'onik Shabbos. Mekadesh is a lashon of sanctifying, of doing the mitzvahs aseh, the zachors, right? We know that shamar v'zachor v'dibur echad was said. In the Aseret HaDibros, one time it says shamar, one time it says zachor. And halacha, the Gemara tells us that zacha represents the mitzvahs aseh. That means lighting candles. It means making kiddush. It means eating the meals. Oneg and kavod. And shomer Shabbos is protecting from any of the low sases. So what he's explaining here is, when it says kol mekadesh ri, those who sanctify it, those who keep it, that's kigon kiddush al yayin, ubachilas basar v'dagim, eating meat and eating fish. Now, mitzat halacha, one doesn't have to have meat on Shabbos. Growing up, we always thought you had to have meat. You don't have to have meat. There's a big inyan, meat is considered chashuv, but a person's a vegetarian, a person doesn't like meat, there is no requirement, as opposed to yantif. Yantif, there is a requirement to have meat, according to many poskim. There is a requirement to have meat on Shabbos, but if one normally enjoys meat, if he considers it a fancy meal for him, so then one should have it on Shabbos. But those, again, who don't enjoy it, there's no obligation. Same holds true of eating fish. Fish, there's a big inyan to eat fish on Shabbos. Api Kabbalah, it's brought down. But if one doesn't enjoy fish, you shouldn't have it. It goes against your own Shabbos. So that's Mikadesh Shvi. That's sanctifying it, elevating it. And then Shomer Kadas, Shomer Shabbos Kadas Melechalo, Zehu Belosase. That is one who preserves it from desecrating the Shabbos, Shenizhar Mimalacha. So that's the simple pshat of what this stanza means, at least the first half of Mekadesh versus Kol Shomer. Now, the next piece, look at footnote Tess. Kol Echad Kimagilo, everyone according to, right, Kol Mekadesh Shvi Karailo, that he is deserving of. Sheose Mashahu Mechuyav Minadin. So a person does what he's supposed to. That's called Shomer Shabbos Kadas Mechalo. Some people like to just do the bare minimum, just to be Yotzei, fulfill the mitzvahs, the very simple level. That's Shomer Shabbos Kadas Mechalo. Then that person is Nota Schar Ba'olam Haba. He deserves Schar. That's very much, he followed the halacha. But listen to this level. Ilu Ha'osa Lefnim Mishur Sadin. One takes it a step up. And Mekadesh Shvi Kirailo, he's Mekadesh it. He elevates it more than he actually has to. So then he's notel scharogam bolm hazeh. He's going to even enjoy this world. So everyone keeps Shabbos, that's great. You get olam haba. If you want to enjoy this world as well, olam hazeh, so then you take it to the whole another level. You take it to the mekom mekadesh shvi. Now this is a very, very important yisod in Musar and growth and development when it comes to a person about taking chumras upon themselves and doing things that are more than what they have to, above and beyond. So there is a big inyan of taking chumras. The Mesilas Yesharim talks about one of the levels of growth. I think he puts it in, I don't remember which category he puts this in. Maybe Kedusha, I can't remember. But he speaks about there's a level of getting to chumras. Not everyone is right to take upon themselves chumras. You have to start dealing with the basic, the bare minimum, and following the halacha. Sometimes people are so makbid on, let's say, Chalv Yisrael, or makbid on, keeping yashan, things like that, which are chumras, but before they're dealing with the basics of halacha. Or a person takes certain chumras, what other chumras a person takes upon themselves?
72 minutes.
Rabbeinu Tam, great. Rabbeinu Tam keeping 72 minutes. So sometimes chumras are really taken out of context if you don't have the basics. But a person first has to work on their basics, on their basic midos, and their basic Torah, and you have to know what's considered prioritizing also, what's important, what's not important. Sometimes people focus on the chumras, but when they're lacking the basic ideas of things. And therefore, what we're saying from here, if you want to have olam haba, you're going to get your olam haba as long as you follow kedas mechalo. From following the halachas of Shabbos, you're going to get it. You want to take it to a whole other level, that's going to give you olam haza, but you have to be able to grow, climb that ladder in healthy steps. Many times people go to yeshiva or seminary and they jump to look for all these chumras, but they're missing the basics. And if you have no foundation of things, there's no foundation of halacha, so then everything's going to crumble. Many guys in yeshiva will grow payas, let's say. They come, they grow payas, they want to be frum, they think that's how they become frum. And then they're missing everything else, and there seems to be these inconsistencies of them growing payas, but not really learning very well. And then what happens in a few years when they're not learning well, and they're uncomfortable wearing the payas, so then they cut the payas off, and then now that what they're holding on to, and then they're kind of lost. So there's nothing wrong with payas. We love payas, but there's growth. Here, you're welcome. I wish I grew. I'm too old to grow payas. I'm not too old.
I started when I was older than you.
Okay. So we all love payas. My sons have payas. But I'm just saying, those are examples of,
to a point.
There's certain parts of development. And it's not a knock at Pais, of course, or the way people dress, but just really knowing how to climb that ladder in a very healthy way of following the basics before jumping to those new levels. Because Messiah Shisham says to take upon yourself chumras, it's only really once you have those basics.
Yashan and Chol Yisrael, you mentioned in the same breath, but would you consider, or is Yashan and Chol Yisrael on the same category?
No, it's a different topic, but it's not.
So just
on that topic, I'll mention, Chol Yisrael is not as serious of a thing because we have Rav Moshe Tshuva to rely on here in America, that everything that's FDA approved, it's considered... No one's going to argue. No one thinks it's treif. No one's going to say milk is going to be treif if there's an OU on it. That's fine. But there's an added level of Chal Yisrael, and even Rav Moshe agrees that one should be machmir because it's very easy to find Chal Yisrael. Yes, it's going to be more expensive. Yes, it's going to go bad in 3 days. But still, it's very easy to come by. It's an easy chumrah to accomplish. That's one.
Rabbi Frankel, who he's Talmud of Rabbi Feinstein. I don't know if that's the exact lashon that we hear from him.
Yeah, it's Rav Moshe. That's what he writes in the tshuva. Either way, it's something easy.
No, but you should try to do it. But he actually used the language that it's considered Chal of Yisrael. It's considered kosher. And the Chal of Yisrael is considered a chumrah, a good thing to do for a God-fearing Jew. But he used the language of calling the Medina one even Chal of Yisrael.
It is.
All
right, I won't get involved in that topic. But Yashin, a whole other topic here, where Yashin is much more of a serious thing halachically. Yeah. That there is... What Yashin is, just to explain, since we're all really off topic anyways, so Yashin is that any wheat that was before Nisan, Pesach, that's called Chadash. It's asr to eat Chadash, new grains. You need to wait until the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, there was a carbon omer that was brought. That carbon omer now allowed all the Chadash, it made it into Yashin. So now Yashin, old grains are permitted, new grains, Chadash is asr. So after Pesach, everything, all wheat you're going to find in the world, is all now mutter, it's all yashin. Later on in the season, as new grain's growing, and then by winter time, they cut the grain and make it into flour, that flour is now yashin, and you can't eat it until Pesach. So the Ramah has a heter based on a svek sveka, since it was very hard to find the yashin grains, you couldn't produce it, the only thing that was available was chadash, the new grains, he had a heter, it's chutz laretz, you don't know if it's yashin, a whole complicated thing, just to be melamed chus in Europe, why they were eating chadash wheat. Now, that was the accepted practice, but really it's a weak svek sveka, the post can point out. So those who can be makbid on yashin, it's a very wonderful thing, but at the same time, it's not so easy. Chal Yisrael is very easy to find. Yashin requires having to check the different barcodes of the cereals and the different grains. It's not a pasha thing, and we've accepted things. So halachically, yashin makes more sense to take a chumrah as opposed to Chal Yisrael. But in terms of access and what's easier, yashin is more serious than Chal Yisrael. That halacha of yashin, much more serious of a halacha.
But harder to
fulfill, exactly.
Meaning
a yashan, you have to really know how to look at the barcodes in the back of cereal boxes, and there's a whole book how to read it.
Which would be more of an obligation to do?
Yashan. Yashan is. Yashan's more.
So hard.
Exactly.
Can we get back?
Yeah, let's get back. Good, let's get back.
Can we get back, please, to this?
Good idea.
I have a question.
Fine.
To the point.
Right? Yeah.
So if the second level, is the person that does even the assays, he gets the Olam Haba too, wouldn't that be the second phase?
Yeah, I that's why I thought it was strange also. It's out of order. You would think first Kedas Mechala should be the first one, and then I was thinking the same thing. I agree. Okay, let's now go to the next page with number one. Thank you for bringing us back on track. So number one, because it's a thick safer, you don't always get the clearest Xerox copy, but if you look at number one, Yesh Lahavin, we have to understand Ma Chiluk Bein Mekadesh Shvi L'Shomer Shabbos. What's the difference between a person who's Mekadesh Shabbos and one who's Shomer Shabbos? What's the difference between sanctifying and keeping? We just saw an answer before. Ela sheyeshnem kama madregos b'shmir Shabbos. There are many levels of how one fulfills Shabbos. Yesh asher shomer yom Shabbos b'chol hechosav. There are those who keep Shabbos with all the halachas. Umosif l'kadsho b'maisa dibor machshava. And there are those who take it a whole nother level and they sanctify it with what they say, how they speak, how they act, how they think. Veino mesiach das klal mikedushas haShabbos. They never are mesiach das. They never stop thinking about Shabbos. Hu nikra mikadesh shvi karoy. That's a person. There's one person, a type of yid, who just doesn't do anything wrong, right? He doesn't do any halachas. He doesn't tear things he shouldn't be tearing. Doesn't write. Doesn't turn on the computer, on the phones. And that's one level. But then there's another person who really lives Shabbos with this, with tremendous sanctity. And everything he speaks is Shabbos. He doesn't speak about business. He doesn't speak about things he shouldn't. He's just thinking about Shabbos, the way he dresses, the way he acts. That's a whole other level of keeping Shabbos. I'm not talking about here keeping, not talking about saying Kiddush and just eating. I'm talking about everything he does along the way. You're always thinking of Shabbos. You're singing Zemiros on Shabbos. You don't have to sing Zemiros. But when you have a table that is a person comes and eats the food, and then there's a table that there's Zemiros Shabbos, that Suda Shabbos is a whole nother level. There's a whole nother feeling to it. You've added a whole neshama to that Shabbos table. So if your Shabbos all day long is dressing the right way, not putting on sneakers and running outside. Now, kids is a whole other story. But dressing the proper way all Shabbos and thinking of Shabbos, that's called Mekadesh Shvi. That's a person who really takes Shabbos to a whole other level.
But dressing is not a chumra, is not a halacha?
There's halachas, but there are different ways how to properly dress. You're correct. But again, people could dress in different ways. Even you could have special Shabbos clothing that doesn't look so Shabbos-tic. I remember growing up in Teaneck. So it was the time, you're going to have to help me with the guy's name, but one of these TV hosts, it was a game show, he came out with like colored shirts, became a big thing. Like never, no one wore colored shirts with a suit. Anyone know the guy's name? I don't remember the game show. What? I'm not good with you. But there's some TV host, a well-known guy, and he like broke out this thing of wearing like pink, purple, blue shirts with a suit. And no one did that back then in 1995 or whatever year it was. And so we started wearing colored shirts to shul. And there was one guy who said, there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely fine. It was a Shabbos shirt. It was just, we used to go to this place called Today's Man. Is that anyone hear of that, Today's Man? Okay. So yeah, you used to match it up. I remember the colored shirt with the suit and matching the tie. It was a fun thing we used to go with my parents to. So there's nothing wrong with wearing a colored shirt. But there's one guy in shul, it's actually Rabbi Feigenbaum from IPM, a good friend of mine, and we grew up together. His father, Jackie, would all give us a hard time about wearing colored shirts on Shabbos. Shabbos, you wear white shirts. That was his inyan. So yes, so there's halachas of wearing Shabbos clothing, but there's no halacha of wearing white or not. But there's a certain way. I'm not saying anyone who wears colored shirts, that's fine. I'm just saying there's a whole nother level of adding on to the way you dress to a whole nother level, the way you eat, the way you sing, the way you talk, the way you think. That's kol mekadesh shvi karayla. That's really what it means to sanctify Shabbos, to take it to a whole nother level. Now, I just saw, interestingly, on this week's Parsha, the Baal Shem Tov, there's a story by the Baal Shem Tov, that there are two ways to really serve Hashem. There's those that could serve Hashem in a very passive way, and those who could serve Hashem in a very proactive way. Kol mekadesh shvi. So we know that the Rashi tells us, in Lavan Garti Begmatshius Taryag, he kept 630 mitzvahs. And Rashi is telling us that even though Yaakov lived with Lavan, the Rasha, he was able to still keep 630 mitzvahs. So there's a story one time that the Baal Shem Tov was somehow stuck in a non-Jewish home. And there, in that non-Jewish home, there was a getchka, a Avodah Zarah, an idol. I once had this, I mentioned this, but I think before, maybe 2 years ago in a Friday night halacha, right? Very good. Oh, you guys pay attention. I'm impressed. Yeah, wow.
I have the same issue.
Yeah, okay, fine. I guess it's a common. The same hospital. If you go to North Shore, I think that's where it was. So I have never been there. But it's all over the place. But this, so I was in North Shore, which I thought was a Jewish hospital. And my wife was in labor. I don't remember what stage it was. I went downstairs to Davin, and they had a, what do they call that room? It wasn't a prayer room. What was that, meditations? Yeah. So I went to the meditation room, and you like open up, and it's like, like these statues and like Indian faces and masks and all types of things there. So I like shut the door. So the Baal Shem Tov was once in this place of a Beis Nachri. He was in a non-Jewish house where had a cross or something. And when he left the home, he was in a tremendous state of Simcha Gedola. I mean, imagine a guy walks out of a church. You think he's in a state of Simcha Gedola? So they asked him why he was so happy about leaving the house of the Beis Nachri. He was in a church. So he told his students, Samech ani meod, I'm very, very happy, because Shebishah achas, in one moment, kiyamti kol haTorah kula, I fulfilled the entire Torah. So you just came out of a church. How do you fulfill the Torah? Ki avodah zara dina kedavar mos. Avodah zara has a status of being something disgusting and gross. V'aser lehaher b'divrei Torah b'makom hazeh. And there's an iser to think of any Torah. When a person is in a bathroom or in an alleyway, a garbage dump, you can't think of Torah. So too, the Baal Shem Tov says, if you're in the context of an idol, perhaps a church, so then you can't think of Divrei Torah. Uma sheshemarti machshavosai, if when I protected my thoughts, milahayer b'shum davar midivrei Torah, I didn't think any Torah, nechshav li ki'ila kiyamti kol Torah, is as if I fulfilled the entire Torah. You imagine that. By not thinking Torah, b'beis avodah zarah, it's as if you kept the entire Torah. So that's where Rav David Medinov explained that im lavan garti, how did he keep 613 mitzvahs? How could he keep that? There was no beis hamikdash. He couldn't bring karbanos. He couldn't bring. He couldn't do a meister behemoth. Whatever it was, whatever mitzvah it was, did Peter Chamor. There's no mitzvahs he did. So what it means is that since he was in the beis of avodah zarah, which is full of truff in the gilulim, full of avodah zarah and idols and stuff, and when he walked into that place, Yaakov, imagine, you know, someone on the level Yaakov Avinu, the Baal Shem Tov, who couldn't stop thinking of Divrei Torah, to be in a situation. So, Lahavdil, I shared the story before one of my trips to Chicago. I went to Chicago with my wife this past summer. And, you know, when you spend time with your wife, you don't expect to learn that much. That's just how it works, just spending time with the wife. But there are going to be times, I've learned now, whenever you go with your wife somewhere, you always need to bring a gemara, because there's inevitably times when she goes shopping or doing whatever she's doing, I'm going to have to wait. So I could wait and just stare at the wall or bring something with me to learn. So I always bring a gemara. Wherever we go somewhere, if we're going to my in-laws, I always bring a gemara because I know there's going to be stops along the way where I'm waiting in the car and learning gemara. So I packed my bags and everything, and then I got to the airport, and we're settling in. She's making her phone calls to her mother for the 15th time, and then I take out my gemara to learn, and I took out the wrong gemara. I just made a scene with that gemara, so I was waiting for the next one, and I didn't have it. And it's a situation where you're just frustrated that you wanted to learn and you can't learn. So imagine if you're the Yaakov Avinu and you're living in a place where you just can't learn. You're stuck in a jail. You're stuck in a base of Avodah Zarah and you just cannot learn. It's a very frustrating feeling. So the Baal Shem Tov switches the whole thing around. By you holding back those machshavos of Torah, it's as if you kept the entire Torah. That's a whole other perspective. But again, ain't no doma that to when a person actually does learn. At a whole nother level. So I think this idea of the Baal Shem Tov, that a person could keep Shabbos, and that's great. But if you take it to a whole nother level, and you sanctify it with how you speak, and how you think, and how you act, and how you dress, that's what it means, kol mekadesh shvi. Every second of Shabbos should be filled with simcha, and with singing, and divrei Torah, and happiness. That's really how to be kol mekadesh shvi. That's really how to sanctify it, to take it to a whole nother level. Let's go now to number two. Number two is on the bottom here. So it says here, Diktek Harav HaKadosh Rabbi Chanuch Henech Magzander, Madua Hisparish Rak Schar HaShomer Shabbos Michalok Shu Rav Meod. The stanza says that one who keeps Shabbos Michalo, Shomer Shabbos Kedas Michalo, it's Schari Harbe Meod, gets a lot of Schar. How come though, Ilu Schar HaShem Mekadishri, we say Mekadishri is much greater. You're taking Shabbos to a whole nother level. It says, Kiroi Lo, lowest parish klal. Why is there no schar that's mentioned for when a person keeps it to a mekadesh, which is the higher level? So he says a very, very pashut answer, that nirashu mishum shirakes schar hashomer Shabbos nitein lefarish bepeh. When a person keeps Shabbos and all the halachas, you could describe there's a finite amount of schar he's going to get. We could talk about that type of schar. Aval, but the schar of a mekadeshvi, kurayu, the guy who's mekadesh Shabbos, the lady who's mekadesh Shabbos, in every second of Shabbos, he's Mekabel Shabbos Friday night, he comes to Eish and knows what it's like to be Mekabel Shabbos with that simcha and the singing. That type of simcha, Karoi, Gavoa Mi'al Gavoa, is higher than the high. The EF Shalafar, you can't even talk about it. You cannot even discuss what type of schar you're going to get for being Mekade Shvi, for sanctifying Shabbos in such a serious, serious way. So that's what it means to sanctify Shabbos. If you go now next to the next number three, the next page. Now, as I said before, when we're analyzing these stanzas, I'm not suggesting, we don't know what the poet or writer had in mind. I don't imagine this was his intentions, what we're about to see, but I could be wrong. When it comes to the world of Rimazim and the world of Gematrias and Rashi Tevos, you have to be on a very high level to fit in very hidden secrets within. So whether this was the intention or not, it's still a very nice point here. If you look at number three, Scharo Harbe Meod, he points out that the Rashi Tevos are Moshe out of order. And Moshe Rabbeinu is very much connected to Shabbos, the Svarim tell us. And the Sofei Tevos is Hod. Shekein La'acher, Hod means to something very beautiful. Shekein La'acher Shechatu Yisrael Be'egel, after Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel Hazav, Nitlu Mehem Kisrei HaHod, Shezachulem Bamirasam Nasav Nishma. What happened was, at Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us if he wanted to keep the Torah, we didn't say, as we know, tell us what's in it, like the other Umas Olam. We said, Nasev Nishma. We're willing to accept it. We're going to do, we're going to listen, we're on board. And that moment, each of us were given two crowns, a Nasa crown and a Nishma crown. The Chazal tells us that was the Tefillin. The Arizal says Tefillin Shayad is the Nasa, and the Tefillin Shrosh is the Nishma. That's the idea, the Rosh and the Yad, the Nasa and the Nishma. But when we committed the Aveir of the Chet HaEgazov, then the crowns were taken to us, and they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given all 1.2 million crowns, 600,000 men. They each had a crown, Nasa Venisha times two, 1.2 million crowns Moshe was zocha to, taken from us. Ach b'shah she Yisrael shomrim es ha-Shabbos. When the Klal Yisrael keeps Shabbos, machzir Moshe Rabbeinu es ha-ksarm liso, we get it returned back. And the Fikach, that's why it says, when a person keeps Shabbos properly, scharo, what's his schar? His schar is har b'me'od. The Rashi Tevos of Moshe Rabbeinu in that hod. Shezocha l'kabbalas ha-kisrei hod mi-Moshe Rabbeinu. We get those crowns back. The crowns come back to us. So it's brought down that one of the big questions, why do we have a Shalom Zachar? Why is a Shalom Zachar that's celebrated on Shabbos? So what many Svarim explain is that when the child learns in the mother's womb, the entire Torah, and the child leaves, so then the Malach taps it on the lip and forgets all the Torah. And you can imagine how empty that neshama feels, that loss of Torah. So they explain that Shabbos is supposed to be a nechama for the child, for the loss of Torah. So how is it a loss? What is the child gaining on Shabbos that's supposed to appease his shichas haTorah, the forgetting of Torah? So what they say is that since on Shabbos, this is the Arizal he's quoting, that we get our crowns back, return back to us on Shabbos. So that's the appeasement. That's the nechama for the child. We do get those crowns back. Because the idea they explain is that Shichas HaTorah came from the breaking of the Luchos. When they broke, when the Reish Lakish says in the Gemara on Shabbos that Yashar Kochacha explains when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, Chazal say that Hashem gave him Yashar Kochacha, well done. Well done. That's, by the way, the last Rashi in all of Chumash. Right. That Hashem says, Le'ena Yisrael, that you broke it in the front of all of Am Yisrael, you broke the Luchos. Yashar Kochacha, well done. Well done. Moshe took out his anger in the Luchos and smashed them. How is that a good thing? How is that Yashar Kochacha? So that was really the Shichas HaTorah. We forgot the Torah. So what was the good thing in Shichas HaTorah? Why is that a wonderful thing? So there's a beautiful Netziv. The Netziv says that which is greater, the Luchos Rishonos? If I had to ask you, which is greater, Luchos Rishonos or Luchos Shnios? Rishonos. But Luchos Rishonos was written by Moshe, by HaKadosh Baruch himself. He handed us down. And then my Silikim. And Luchos Shnios, Hashem says, Psalacha, this time I'm not wasting my time, you working it. Moshe is sitting there chiseling away, making the Luchos Shnios. So there's an Ibn Ezra that quotes one of the Gaonim, that says Luchos Shnios was actually greater than Luchos Rishonos. So the Ibn Ezra says, it doesn't make any sense. How could that be that second Luchos are greater than the first Luchos? It doesn't make any sense at all. So the Hamak Davar, the Netziv writes in this Perish in Parshat Kisisa, that's the whole point. Really, the idea of Luchos Rishonos was greater. It was Ma'aseh Elokim. Hashem wrote it. But there was no Koach HaChidush. There was no ability of creativity, no man's input into Torah. Hashem said, I want your input. You now created Shichas HaTorah. You broke the Luchos. There's now forgetfulness in the world. You have to start working harder and harder and harder, and you have to chisel away at the Luchos Shnios, and now adding your own creativity, your own Chiddush HaTorah, your own input, that made the Luchos Shnios greater than the Luchos Rishonos. That's the idea.
Same thing like a bris, no?
But also, it could be as well.
Ask him why, if God's perfect,
Could be that exactly. Same idea. So man's input, that at first glance, that you were saying, L'chachila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world perfect, but then he created things intentionally imperfect to allow us to have our own ability to create, to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation of the world. So yes, so we lost the Ksarim, we lost the crowns, the Luchos were broken, but that gives us the ability to recreate things and to mechadish things on our own. But each Shabbos, however, each Shabbos, we are returned back those snake sarim, the Nas of Anishma, and we're reminded what it was like to be before we had broken the Luchos. And that's what the tremendous Nechama is for the child of the Shalom Zachar. Yeah. No, we're just making a celebration. For this child, he never experienced Shabbos before. So this is his first Shabbos. It's like Adam Rishon, when the world started, the day started to get shorter and shorter, he got so nervous. He got very nervous that maybe the world was going to be destroyed or lose the sun. He never experienced it. But once the sun, the day hit its peak and it started to get bigger, he made a big simcha, made a big party, because he didn't know that was the way of the world. So this is the baby's first experience in Shabbos, and therefore we make a celebration for that. That's just one explanation. There are other explanations as well. Okay, let's now move to number four. Al pi follow. So the idea here is that what does it mean, Schar Shabbos al pi follow, that you keep Shabbos according to your actions? Yesh lahavin, there's room to understand mahu al pi follow. There's no actions to Shmir Shabbos, it's non-actions. V'nir, a very pashut explanation here. She'ein domeh ha-shomer Shabbos she'holich batel gami mosachol l'mishetarid b'mlachto b'sheshim me'amaisa v'shovis b'shabbos machmas gzeres melech. Imagine a guy who has no job. A guy sits around doing nothing all day. He goes, works out all day, he plays basketball all day, he just relaxes. He goes to do whatever he does, or she goes to do whatever she does all week and does nothing. Then Shabbos comes. Shabbos is nothing special. Shabbos is the same thing during the week. The only thing is, it's actually worse because you can't use your phone. So now, that person who doesn't have a job, so Shabbos is not so exciting for them. It's terrible for them. But a person is going out to work, and 6 days he's working hard, 5 days in America, waking up early, coming home late, that person really appreciates his Shabbos. It's so much more powerful and more meaningful to that person. So it means al pi follow, according to his effort during the week, of how much he put into going to work and putting food on the table for his family, according to that Sar Agra, that's how much more meaningful his Shabbos is going to be. Yes, it's a big in this. My Shabbos drush already now, this week is going to be about working, the importance of going to work. We're meant to work the world. B'zeis apecha. We're here to work the world and to make our parnasa and to tikkun olam and to provide for our family and try to get in between, try to chop moments here and there to learn mekadeshem shemayim. We're not meant to be home all day and doing nothing. We're meant to work and produce and be productive. So according to the effort a person puts into his workforce, his work week, that's how much more meaningful his Shabbos is going to be.
Let me interrupt. Yeah. Something. There are different ways of looking at it. Think about a person, unfortunately, who doesn't work. When he gets to Shabbos, he's equal, because no one's working. So at that point, he can really, think about how he feels during the week. He's so down and out.
Could be. It makes him feel better. I hear that emotionally, it could be feel better.
Emotionally, Baruch Hashem, now.
Yeah, I hear. So it's a nice point. It's a nice point.
Be like everybody else.
It's a very nice point. It is.
I'm away.
Okay. Let's do number five now. Number five, the many farshim ask the question of Shemetchilas Hapi, at the beginning of this song, Schara Harbe Mod. It talks about the great schar one gets. Mashma Shehaschar Hu Lelo Gvul Mida. Sounds like there is no boundaries to the schar one gets. Harbe Mod. Hu Kemaimer, the Gemara in Shabbos, tells us that Kol Shomer Shabbos Nosin Lo Nachla Bilimitzarim. One who preserves Shabbos gets a limitless amount of Nachla. He gets schar b'li mitzvah, without any boundaries. Vimkein. Eichaz of Amar, then how could the pi go on and say, al pi follow? Shemashma mida k'negi mida. Sound like you only get schar corresponding to your palo, schar corresponding to your work. So is there a limit, or is there not a limit? Is there schar harbe for Shabbos, or is it based on palo, or is there a finite amount? So there are a few different explanations. The one I liked, I wanted to share with you, from the Imre Yosef in number 6. The Imre Yosef says, Od yesh lefarish al pi divrei haGemara. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan. Kol meshamer Shabbos kilchasa. One who keeps Shabbos properly. Afilu oved avodah zarah. Kedor enish mochlin lo al kovan osaf. A person could do the worst aveir in the world. He could worship avodah zarah. He could murder. He could do gilai raios. He could steal. Whatever it is. Even though a person does such a terrible aveira, Shabbos, keeping Shabbos, will provide a tremendous tshuva for a person. Ubir ataz, the Taz explains, Shemedubar, this describes a person, Misha ov aver al krisus and Mises bezdin, she tshuva tolalov yusrum mimrakim. The halacha is a person violates a serious aveira, a serious offense. So a person doesn't get granted tshuva until he has to experience terrible tsaros in his lifetime. But there's one way to get an ultimate tshuva, even for the worst of the averos. Im haya shomer Shabbos kilchasa. If you keep Shabbos properly, mo'ila tshuvasa lechaper legamrei alavonosav. Shabbos is so powerful, it can be mechaper a person on all his averos, no matter what you've done wrong in your life. Whether you made fun of a person in public, whether the person was involved in chilul Shabbos, whether the person stole something, whatever it was, keeping Shabbos properly is mechaper entirely. Nimsa, she'achote b'krisus v'mises bezdin, a person who violated a serious offense, af al pich shelo mitorah, the guy could learn a tremendous amount, u'mekayim mitzvos Hashem, could fulfill many mitzvos of Hashem, eino nota schar lehem, he can't receive schar. Why? Mishim shelo ho'ilo lo tshuvaso, his tshuva isn't complete. A guy's busy doing one thing. Rebbe talks about this often. A person's one way in the base medrash, and a completely other way outside. In the Beis Medrash, he's a very nice guy. He talks nice to people. He learns how smother. He's got a great cup. He asks great questions. And the moment he leaves the Beis Medrash, he looks at things he shouldn't be looking at. Or he speaks to people the way he shouldn't be speaking at. He goes home and starts yelling at his wife. But to his chavrusa, he's so nice and gentle. To his Rebbe, he's very nice and gentle. But outside, when it comes to the world of business, comes his family, he's busy yelling and screaming and insulting people. Those are two different lives. So a person could be completing all the mitzvahs and learning great. But if he has all these other avarice that he's done wrong, so it's not going to balance out. Ula Rasha Amar Lakim Malacha Lasaper Chukai. A Rasha, a guy who's doing terrible things. What are you doing speaking my chukai, speaking my mitzvahs? Now we're not saying Chas V'Shalom, the person doing something wrong he shouldn't learn. We're not saying that. Obviously people who do bad things, we want them to learn. We're hoping the learning is going to change them and make them better. We're not saying not to. But what we're saying is that you're not going to be completely exempt from all the averas just because you're learning. When a person keeps Shabbos properly, shave v'nir palo, it's tshuva, and it heals him. So right now the guy did a tremendous amount of mitzvahs and learning. But he has some bad averas there. So now they're equalized. But the moment a guy keeps Shabbos, he wipes away all those terrible averos, whether they're Mises, Bezdin, Krisis, whatever level of Issa we're talking about. So once Shabbos wipes them out, so now all the other mitzvahs come to the top, and they become elevated.
What's the proof? Where is that?
One second here. V'lechach rimeiz hapayit bomro schari harbe me'od al pifalo. That's what's going to happen. When a person does palo, he does pulos. If a guy is doing other averas, it's not going to mean anything. When a person keeps Shabbos, shomer Shabbos kedas michalo, he keeps Shabbos, so then the scharbe harbe me'od, because it now allows your alpi follow, those actions and mitzvahs to come to life.
What's alpi follow?
A pulos is actions and works and mitzvahs. Oh. So those mitzvahs right now, when a guy does a big avera, are ignored and overwhelmed by the averas. The averas are overshadowing the pulos, the mitzvahs. But when Shabbos comes in, and you do it properly, and it wipes out the averos, so then the schar, then you get the schar, har be'mod on the palo, becomes elevated and above everything else. That's what's being hinted at in this this sentence here.
So he's not going with the work opinion.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. I said in the beginning that we're going to go through different ideas, but not the same theme, because there's so many different explanations how to understand poetry and songs. So each one takes what they want, how they want.
Because I was seeing that it's like almost a steer to the one where it says, well, over here, schar har be'mod for that one. Well, this one is defined. Which, and then he seems to be saying, well, limitless.
Yeah.
And the and Kadesh, well, there's no schar written there because it's, you know, you, yeah. Because you can't.
Exactly. So you can't. All these ideas are very different and different perspectives. Whoever speaks to you most, whatever you're connecting to, that's what you should walk away with. There's no one. We don't really know what the understanding of what the Piet had in mind when he wrote this. We can't figure that out. We could speculate, but they're all certainly good messages to hopefully walk away with something.
Well, what's the power of proof that Shabbos wipes out your...
It's a Mefurish Gemara in Shabbos that says a person who keeps Shabbos... He doesn't quote the Pasuk here. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes the Pasuk. I don't remember what it is, but this piece doesn't quote where the... If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, they give a raya for this. There's a proof.
Where?
Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis and Masecha Shabbos. Okay, let's do one last piece here, then. Those want to hear the song from Yeshaya, I'll share that song with you. Okay. Number 7 now, the Makor Chaim.
You going to sing it?
No, I'm going to play it here. Now I know you could sing. I saw that video. So you can maybe sing. We don't have words to it yet. You missed the first part. My Shia last night, he wrote a song. So I recorded it. And so I'll play it for you guys afterwards. And if you think of any words that go to it, feel free to make any suggestions. So the Makor Chaim explains this is number 7. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Kol Ma'aneg Es HaShabbos, Nosin Lo Nachla B'li Mitzarim. One who enjoys Shabbos, he's going to earn a tremendous Nachla, a tremendous portion and reward without any boundaries. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, he says differently, Nitzol Mishibud Galyas. You're going to be saved from the terrible tsaros that we experience in Galus. Uba Payet Nakit Kedashneim. So the Ba Payet, many times the authors and the poets wanted to use statements of Chazal and they kind of weave them together in such a way. So the suggestion here is that this statement is trying to weave these two suggestions together, that keeping Shabbos, you get Nachla, and you also are saved from Shibud Galyus. How so? Shekein Tchila Amar Schara Har B'Me'od Kedas Rabbi Yochanan Shenosin Lo Nachla B'Limitzarim. So the Schara Har B'Me'od, the tremendous amount of reward is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan Shita that Shabbos leads to a nachla b'li mitzarim, schar har b'mod. And Chazav Amar, then he referenced Ish al machaneu v'ish al diglo. Person's going to be staying within his camp, within his dega, within his shevet, and not have to experience the galyas. That's Das of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Shinatzel Mishubit Galios via Al Machaneu Val Diglo. He should have the zechus of staying in his camp, staying in the place where he lives, and be protected within all of Am Yisrael. Alright, so we should all be zocha by singing this first song, we call Mekadesh Shabbos, and all the Zmir Shabbos, and keeping Shabbos Kedas Mechalo. We shall be zocha to the Schar Habre Me'od, Al Pipalo, and Nachli B'Mitzarim, and to be saved from Mishubit Galios.